Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
All right, we are going to St. Thomas Sportsplex. Amy Adams Trunk is up at the podium.
Build for him and his family. I also want to express my appreciation to Ryan Cowden for his work over the years and for his tremendous leadership of the personnel team over the past 6 weeks. Ryan is a great leader and football evaluator, and no doubt he will one day soon be an outstanding general manager. But in the end, Ryan stood out as the clear choice as the next general manager of the Titans for a few reasons. He's a former player who grew up around the game. He has a strong record of success in evaluating talent and roster building at multiple teams. And really what impressed me the most was his growth mindset, clear vision, and ability to connect with people. We called as many potential references as we could find to learn more about Ryan as a person, talent evaluator, and leader. Whether current and former colleagues, the scouting community, the former teammates, the feedback was unanimous. Ryan is exceptional. As a talent evaluator, Ryan brings tremendous skill set to the process, and he is a natural leader and collaborator. I'm excited for Ryan and his staff to work closely with Coach Vrabel and the coaches to align on a vision for the team and to build a roster of players who best fit that vision. Together, they will identify talented players and ultimately the right players to build a championship roster. Despite how last season ended, I still have high expectations for our team. We have some big questions to answer off season, but I'm excited for what the future brings. With that, I would like to introduce and welcome Ryan Carthon as the Tennessee Titans General Manager.
Good afternoon. Thank everybody for being here. Man, this is an exciting time. Dream come true. Something my wife and I, we've talked about, and something just been a vision of mine since I was a little kid. I'm grateful and thankful for the opportunity that these people on this front row have given me, and I wouldn't be here without them. My introduction to this group started back in, I guess, about 3 weeks ago in Dallas, where I met Miss Amy, I met Burke, and I met Adolfo at the NFL Accelerator Program. And it was through that program where we had our first initial conversation, and I left from that conversation feeling great about this organization. And once I got the call to interview here for the GM job, I knew that this was a place I wanted to be. And I'm not sure if everybody saw that welcome yesterday, but that shows how special this place is and how special this place is going to be. I didn't get here alone. I had a lot of help throughout the years, and I want to say a few thank yous to those people. I got my start in Atlanta under the Falcons, under the tutelage of Thomas Dimitroff. So I want to thank Arthur Blank. I want to thank Thomas Dimitroff, Les Snead, who was then the pro director at the time, and I worked under him. And through Les, he brought me to St. Louis with him as a director and gave me my first director job. And so the people at the Rams who played a big part in my growth in getting to this spot, you know. So Mr. Kroenke, who's the owner, Kevin Dimoff, and all the great coaches and players that we've had there, the outpour from players that I receive, both current and former, has been amazing and made me just confirmed, you know, how important it is to establish those relationships with those guys. Last but not least, from a from a professional standpoint, you know, I want to thank the San Francisco 49ers organization. We've had a great six-year run, and it's continuing this week. So I want to wish those guys plenty of luck. I'll be there to root them on. But I want to thank the York family. I want to thank Dr. York, Jed, Miss Denise, Jenna and Mara, and the late Tony, who all played a part in establishing that organization as a first-class organization. I also want to thank John Lynch, who hired me there, who is one of the most exceptional leaders that I've ever been around. And also Parag Marate. Parag has become a mentor of mine. He took me under his wing and showed me and shared with me an aspect of the game that I had no idea of. And then finally, I want to thank, you know, these beautiful people on the front row. You know, I want to thank my children. It's been a lot of sacrifice, you know, throughout the years. You know, you guys have gone to multiple schools, and you guys have uprooted your lives so I can live my dream. So I'll be forever indebted to you guys, and I love you. And then finally, my wife. We've been together 20 years now, and she brought up the point. It was the spring semester of 2003, and she asked me, what did I want to do outside of playing football? And I told her, I was like, one day I want to be a GM of the NFL football team. She later told me she almost stopped dating me because she never met somebody that lived in La La Land. But honey, today that dream comes true, and we're realizing the, you know, that work that we've put in. Thank you for being my rock. Thank you for being the stabilizer of our family, and thank you for being the CEO, CFO, COO, and all things to our family. I'm not here without you, so thank you, and I love you. And that's it for me. Thank y'all.
I would probably add accountant to that as well. On behalf of the football staff, the staff downstairs, the training room, everybody that Rand has had a chance to meet or will meet, we want to welcome you, Rand, your family, your beautiful family. I can't wait to get to work with you, to meet them. We're going to go play in the bubble after this, too. I promise you that. Okay. You know, throughout this process, really appreciated where everything went with Amy and, you know, the organization and Burke and Kenneth and Barkley. The conversations that I had with Rand that would run countless hours that seemed like they lasted 15 minutes. That was a really good indication of where our comfort level was with each other. And excited, extremely excited. We got a lot of work to do, and we're excited to get to work on that. We have this morning. We will, as he continues to get settled with his staff, that's in place. The coaches, I know that's important. We've tried to talk about our staffs and where we see that going, and, you know, how they can help us evaluate the right type of players for this organization, and what we believe is important in the players that we have in place that have been our foundation for the last, you know, 5 years that I've been here, and the ones that help us get through the difficult times.
All right, so we'll work on getting that press conference back up. Mike Vrabel talking about kind of reiterating what we heard a lot about from Jeff Fisher, from John McClain, that the relationship between those two was going to go really well. And Mike Vrabel touching on that, you know, in the first minute or so within his press conference, talking about the conversations between himself and Rand Carthon.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can.
All right, we got Mike Vrabel back up. I believe
Rand, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press. As you are learning names, learning your way around this building, there's a lot of questions facing this franchise this offseason. Do you start with salary cap, or is quarterback maybe the top of your to-do list and trying to figure out where to go next?
I think Mike Vrabel is the top of my to-do list. And us working together and forging a relationship and coming up with our plan on how to build this roster. You know, I think there are a multitude of things that we need to do, that we need to fix and make this organization better. But my number one priority is spending more time with Mike Vrabel and learning the systems that are here in place and how I can help improve upon them, and which will help us build a championship team.
And what are the challenges of getting to know your scouts and scouting simultaneously?
Well, it's so just kind of give you a little bit behind the curtain. Came in this morning pretty early before all of this. So I've already met with RC and the pro department and then the college scouting department as well. My plan isn't to come in here and flip everything over right now. I think that would be extremely selfish. I'm the one new person in, so it's easier for one person to adjust to a group of 20 or 25 people. So my job right now is to come in and learn the systems and processes that have already been in place. And there are some commonalities from what J-Rob had here versus what I've had in the past. So it's a little bit easier to learn the language. But just over time, man, just spending time. It's just like any relationship. It takes time and it takes effort and work, and I'm willing to do that, and I'm going to do that.
Mentioned Mike. I mean, did you know Mike well before you got here? And maybe what are your thoughts about what have your thoughts been about him from afar and now getting to know him a little bit?
So Tuesday was the first time that I met Mike in person. 2005, I was a bottom of the roster player for the Colts. So I was inactive in the 2005 game, the Colts-Patriots game where Mike played. I was inactive, didn't get to meet him then. My father, who's here in attendance, was on the staff in 2009, 2010 at Kansas City Chiefs where Mike finished. So never had a relationship with Mike. I've always respected him. Mike is he's a football coach. And you could see that, and, you know, it permeates off of him, off of the screen. You know, so I was excited to get the opportunity to meet with him this past Tuesday. And like he said, we just had a level of conversation that could have went hours, you know. And so what I do recognize and understand with Mike, our core philosophy and just our ground base of football, it comes from a similar place. So that's going to allow us to kind of start, you know, at a higher level. And I'm just looking forward to working with him and building this team.
Man, you're known as a collaborator, and that was a big thing that this organization wanted. In your meeting with Mike Vrabel, like, what was it that made you feel like that relationship would work? And then also, how can you lean on your past experience seeing John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, how that worked? How will that help you in this relationship?
Right. So, you know, I've been multiple organizations, like I've mentioned, and I've seen it done, you know, different ways. But the best way I've seen it done is when the head coach and the GM are in lockstep. Right. It's my job. It's our job as scouts is to execute Mike and his coaching staff's vision. Right. I'm not calling plays on Sunday. I'm not designing plays throughout the week. And so it's our job to bring the right players in here to execute his vision. But in our conversation that we had the other day, again, like I said before, our grassroots, you know, foundation of football comes from a similar place. And we see the game, you know, the same way. And so I'm just excited to, you know, learn the systems, the offensive system, defensive system, and special team system that he's put in place. And I think having a better knowledge of that is going to help, you know, me work with him and build a championship football team.
Other than the fact that it's a GM job that's open, what was attractive about this specific job to you?
These people on the front row. You know, obviously, and I talked with Miss Amy about this, GM has always been a dream of mine. But it was always about the right fit, you know, and it wasn't about getting the job. It was being in a place that's going to support you and put you in a position to keep the job. And like I said, when I met, you know, these guys in, I guess, 3-4 weeks ago, whenever it was, it really opened my eyes. And then throughout the interview process and actually getting a chance to meet Kenneth throughout that process, it just confirmed to me that this is the place that I wanted to be. You know, I'm coming from a good situation in San Francisco. It was a really great building, you know, a lot of strong relationships there. So for me to leave and want to seek opportunity somewhere else, it had to be a special place, and I truly believe that this place is special.
Rand, what would your team look like if everything goes according to plan?
We'd be hosting trophies and having parades and, you know. It's going to be a grind. It's going to be a process. And, you know, like I said, our thing is right now is me and Mike developing our relationship and really me coming in this building and learning, you know, what's in place and how I can add value. You know, one thing I imparted on the group during my interview, my stepfather was in the military and I moved around, you know, a bunch throughout my life. And being living in San Jose these past few years, that's the longest I've ever lived in one spot in my 41 years of living. And so I've always had to be the person to come in and just insert myself into a new culture, learn that new culture and see where I fit. So I feel this is natural. You know, this is a natural thing for me to do is come in and learn my fit. And over time, I'll establish myself, you know, as a leader and help Mike build the team that he wants.
As you peruse this roster and you see kind of
where things stand right now. Do you feel like this team is maybe just a few fixes away from being a contender again, or do you feel like that there's major changes?
No, this is a competitive team. This is a competitive team, and we can win football games. But at the end of the year, you evaluate your roster every year, and you're always looking for ways to improve that. And so that's what we're going to do here. Although I feel the team is competitive and we're good, the objective is not be good. The objective is to be great. And so we're going to continue to work to build a great roster. And that's going to be every year, you know. So you can always take it to a new height. So that's going to be our approach.
Are there common threads with the three organizations you've been with in terms of operations, scouting, decision-making, all that? And if so, what are they?
So, again, you know, here under J-Rob's tutelage, under RC's tutelage, a lot of the core scouting aspects, the genesis of it was New England, which is where I got cut my teeth in Atlanta under Thomas Dimitroff, who was a college director in New England. We learned the system. From Les, we kind of brought a little bit of it to St. Louis. And then when I got to San Francisco, the aspects of it were the exact same under John Lynch and Adam Peters, who also worked with the guys in New England. So that's a lot of the foundation. And so those are the close things. I think in all three buildings, those three buildings and now including this, as I'm getting to know these guys, there are great scouts here. There are guys who are passionate about the job, passionate about the sport, and passionate about winning. And so I think those common things will allow us to be successful.
What do you think of Ryan Tannehill, and is he your quarterback?
I don't think that's fair. At this point, we're still evaluating the roster. I am, you know, and that's going to take further conversations with me and Mike. Ryan has been great here. He's won a lot of football games, and I look forward to us winning football games, but I still need more time, you know, to evaluate and make those decisions. As you know, this is a quarterback-driven league, and people are hired and fired every day over that position. So we want to – I want to spend more time evaluating that position, so I'll have my own opinion, and Mike and I will confer and figure it out.
How much do you pull from your journey? Because it's been a ways to get here. You kind of described it from the different organizations you worked with and pulling from what worked maybe and what didn't, and how beneficial is that now that you are that guy?
Well, like I said, coming in, I've seen it done, you know, a bunch of different ways. And the one thing I take away from it is, again, goes back to that word collaboration. Like, collaboration truly works. You know, again, I've said it, you know, kind of tongue in cheek, but I could be the greatest talent evaluator of all time, but if I can't bring Mike the players that he needs to fit his system, then it's not going to work. And it's, you know, we're not here to collect talent. You know, we're here to build a team. And so, you know, just being able to pull from all my different experiences, you know, I tell my kids all the time, every situation is a learning situation. You're either learning what to do or what not to do. And so taking from all those lessons of what to do, what not to do is going to help, you know, help us in this part.
So much of your experience coming on the pro side, how much draft side experience did you get in the last 2 years with the elevation in San Francisco? And can you talk us through how much while you're on the pro side you were involved in the draft, or is that going to be a big jump for you?
No, so I've been predominantly pro by title. So I've had draft experience since I've come into this league. You know, just again under people who understood my skill set and allowed me to grow from that space. So director of pro, pro scout, those have just been my titles, but not necessarily my job.
Thank you. You're the first Black general manager in this franchise. How significant is that for your family and you? And when did it kind of click that you made history?
It's very significant. I understand I'm standing on the shoulder of giants, and there have been plenty of men that have come before me that have laid this foundation that allowed me to be in this spot. And it's paramount in my mind to do the work and be successful, to leave the door open, you know, for other young Black men that are coming behind me, because there are a lot of talented young Black men that could do the job. They just need the opportunity. And, you know, I don't go out seeking, you know, to be the first Black at anything. I just want to be the best me. And, you know, very prideful. But I just want to be the best. I don't care if it's Black. I don't care if it's white. I want to be the best. And the significance of it, my aunt who's here, she texted me and asked, and I was like, honestly, I don't know. And she was like, well, you might want to find out, you know, and no. And so that's when it first, you know, dawned on me that I was the first Black GM in Titans history.
What
kind of whirlwind has it been, Rand, since you got the job? I guess flying back and forth across the country, trying to learn, I guess, players on this team, people in this building, getting your family here. What has all that been like for you?
Man, I tell you, little bit of context. First interview was last Friday. Second interview was Tuesday. So let me rewind. First interview was Friday. Fly back to the Bay Area. San Francisco plays Seattle on Saturday. Go to that game. Get a email from Burke, you know, Saturday night. Hey, if we wanted to bring you back, when can we do that? We set a date. I get a text from Burke Sunday morning. Hey, we need to push it up. I'm back on a flight Monday back here. Interview Tuesday. Get a second interview. I'm sitting in the airport. And that's when I got the call, you know, from Miss Amy. Just really sitting in the terminal, receiving all this information that my dream was coming true, and can't react because I'm in a terminal full of people that don't know. And I remember calling my wife and telling her, and she kind of thought I was playing because I had to keep a stoic straight face. And but from that point, it's been a whirlwind, right? So that happens Tuesday. I fly home Tuesday night. I go to the 49ers building Wednesday, get a few things. We're on a flight the next day coming here. And so it's been a whirlwind. I'll be honest, I don't feel like I've been able to fully process it, you know. But, you know, it's been great. This is what I always dreamed of, and so I'm just embracing it all.
You played running back. Your dad was one of the best running back coaches and offensive coordinator. Do you think a team can win a Super Bowl in today's NFL built around a running back?
Yeah. I mean, I joke and I say, you know, it's cute to play, you know, Golden State Warriors football on, you know, October, September. But when those conditions change and you can't throw the ball up and down the yard, you better be able to run it and you better be able to defend it. And I think if you look at the teams that are in the playoffs that are still playing at this stage, everybody's able to run the ball. So I think, you know, that you can win championships that way.
How much does your past, your playing experience, how much does that help when it comes to painting that picture of a prospect for the scouts and coaches before they actually see him on film?
I think my playing experience just gives a different context, right, in terms of the evaluation, you know, process. Things I learned, you know, playing with Peyton Manning. You guys, you know Peyton for the Omaha and all those checks and calls, but it gives you, you can't just know your spot playing with a guy like that. So you have to know what everybody, you know, is doing. And I think it kind of opens up your eyes when I'm from this vantage point of being a talent evaluator, of being able to understand who's making the mistake, who's right, who's wrong. And sometimes it kind of helps you, you know, paint a better picture of those young men that are playing.
Analytics, have the Niners and Rams front office used analytics in helping you to select players, both pro and in the draft? And what do you think about analytics use by your coach?
No, we've used analytics a lot in the 49ers. In actuality, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, who's now the GM in Minnesota, he ran our analytics department a couple years ago. Spent a lot of time with those guys. I think it definitely pays a part. You know, we trust our eyes as scouts, but sometimes the data can drive you to a decision and help you see it from a different vantage point. So I think there's a place in our game for it. You know, we've talked about it during the interview. I think in the genesis of analytics, it was kind of pitting analytics and scouting, you know, against each other. And a lot of the things we did in scouting was essentially analytics. It just didn't have the title. So it has a part in our game, and we're going to use every tool here to help us build a championship roster.
Yeah, the first NFL Accelerator program, you get this job. Ian's right here with you. Do you think that's coincidence, or was it that helpful?
No, I think it's helpful and, you know, extremely appreciative, you know, to Commissioner Goodell, you know, Jonathan Bean, and all those beautiful people at the league office that spearheaded the program. Again, that was my first introduction, you know, to this group of people, and they embraced the process. Just being able to be in a room this size with owners and potential GM candidates, they were open to the conversation. And my initial conversation, you know, with them, I guess, allowed them to be a little bit more comfortable with me and want to explore the possibilities. So it works. You know, I'm here, I think, in part because of it. So it works. So it's something that I hope the league continues to use and continue to find a different way to grow it.
Individual experience that you had scouting with this 49er group, like an individual player that there's a story that you're really proud of that has materialized itself with the current 49ers roster?
Two stories, quick ones. You'll quickly learn about me. I like to tell stories. And it's not necessarily about myself, right? We talked about analytics earlier. Demetrius Washington, he's the VP of Ops for Minnesota. He ran our analytics department after Kwesi left. He does his metrics, you know, to find, you know, all his guys. So he comes to me, he has a running back, and he's like, man, my numbers are telling me this is the best outside zone running back in the draft. He was like, but I'm not walking in there with Kyle with just this paper to say that. Can you watch this guy and see if you can confirm what the tape saw? And I watched the tape. That was my first exposure to the player, and I agreed with him. And then that player ended up being Elijah Mitchell that we took in the sixth round, which last year, if we don't have Elijah, we don't go on the run that we went on. And even added to that story, D'Amico Ryans, it was his first year as D coordinator, and that round, that pick was going to be his linebacker. And D'Amico, some kind of when he came in the draft room, Elijah's tape was on. And he was watching Elijah, and he called Johnny Holland, our linebacker coach, up and was like, Coach, this running back is better than the linebacker we're going to pick. And so we shifted from taking a linebacker and took Elijah. And it just kind of shows to the collaboration of how that whole operation works. So those are the two that stood out.
What is it about the 49ers organization? What did you learn from that they've had – such success with guys like Mitchell or George Kittle, even Brock Purdy in the late rounds of drafts?
So that was one of the things I touched on as well in my interview. Again, it goes back to the word collaboration. You know, that fifth, sixth, seventh round is work of the scouts, and it's the work of the assistant coaches. Those guys spending time together, understanding the scheme and finding players, quote-unquote depth-level players, that are going to fit our roster and help fill out the bottom of our roster. So those are the areas where you start to use more of your staff, right? And so us being able in San Francisco to hit on those picks was totally a collaboration of our assistant coaches and our scouts.
What you've seen of this team, the identity of the Titans the last few years, what jumps out? And do you feel like that your preference and what you're going to bring is going to fit that existing identity?
What jumps out is how hard and how tough this team is, how hard they play. And I think the team has been made in the image of our head coach. You know, Mike is a tough guy. He works hard. I just almost said something else, and I saw my kids sitting there. I think the team is built in his image. And what Mike believes in. And like I said before, you know, our core foundation of football comes from the same tree, and I believe in those.
This team's been devastated by injuries the last 2 years. Did you discuss that with Mike, and how much do you envision kind of turning over every stone to see what medical department, science, analytics, all of those things tell you about how to maybe – limit those as best you can in a violent sport?
We talked about it, and we're going to explore every option to figure out how we can keep our guys on the field. But like you said, it's a violent sport. There's not going to be a perfect way to keep everybody healthy. That's just not possible. But we're going to explore every option to figure out how we're going to be able to maximize keeping our guys on the field.
Policy then, or your idea on bringing in guys who are currently injured or have a history of injuries?
I mean, obviously you don't want to hopefully not bring in, you know, injured guys, right? You can't get anything out of anyone if they're not available, you know. So our mission is going to be to put, you know, systems in place where we can get guys on the healthier side. But you know, once you kick this thing off, nobody's ever 100%, you know, again. So it'll be about, you know, maximizing guys with where they are.
Rand, how familiar are you with this roster already, and kind of walk us through the process for you the next couple of days or weeks trying to get up to speed with where this team is currently?
I have a solid baseline of the team. You know, you know, that's a part of the interview process, right? You can't go in there and try to fake your way through the job because Ms. Amy's going to ask the question and she knows the answer. So I feel good about my knowledge of the roster. But again, that's tape. I don't know the people, you know, and that's where Vrabes and I, when we spoke, you know, he was giving me a little insight on the people. So I think that's just as important, you know, because I have a thing, you know, it's not mine. Stole it from a friend. It's called a 21-3 rule. Right. So and he's in the NBA. We all have a way of seeing these players as players 24 hours a day when in actuality they're only players while they're in your building. So I think it's just as important to know the people just as well as you know the player. You know, so that's the area where with our roster, I want to get to know the people. And I'm going to make a couple phone calls to a couple guys, you know, when I leave from here. And what was your second part of your question?
The process is like for you in the next couple of days and weeks, getting up to speed with where things at currently?
Meetings and more meetings. You know, Vrabes and I are going to continue to spend time together, continue to spend time with the scouts. Again, I'm learning their systems and processes right now for the next 4 months, learning their language. So it's going to be, you know, time on task. So that's going to be it for the next 4 months until we find the right process that fits, you know, our organization. It's not about what I want to come in here and do, but the scouts, you know, they're the lifeblood of what we do. So I want to be able to put something in place that benefits them. And so we're going to continue to create that over the coming months.
Have you and Mike had any discussions yet about the offensive coordinator opening and just kind of how involved in that search do you want to be?
No, like I said, man, I just got here yesterday. just got hired on Tuesday, you know. I'm here to help Mike in any way that he sees fit. Obviously, Mike has been here. He has a way he wants to do things, and I respect that totally. So wherever I can add value to Mike from that standpoint, I'm here for it.
You got final say on the roster, right?
I don't think that matters because I think the word and what we truly believe here is collaborating. I think all that comes down to, in my opinion, is a matter of ego. Mike and I, we're here to work together. And we're going to bring the people in here that we see fit. And we're not going to see it the same way all the time. But he and I will have the mutual respect to be able to work through that and we'll get the right people in here.
With you being a former running back and watching Derrick Henry throughout these years, specifically the success that he's had in this organization, what are your thoughts on him as a back and now being able to be here with a guy like that?
Man, it's crazy. Like, so I've been watching Derrick since he was at Yulee, you know, high school, Florida boy. So it's crazy to see how – I remember Coach Parcells told me one time, running back is a production-based position. If you didn't get yards in high school and college, you're not getting them on this level. And if you look at Derrick's history, he got yards in high school, he got them in college, and he's got them at this level. And, you know, more than anything, I can't wait to stand next to him to size him up, you know, to see how big he really is in person.
I guess I'm curious, who's responsible for you coming up with the blue tie and outfit and all your kids? I know are in the matching J's. And what is that like going from having everybody all in on the Falcons, the Rams, 49ers, and now the Titans?
So I will give my agent, Sean, he's somewhere in here, his pitch to my wife all with Titan blue. Find him a Titan blue tie. So I'm not responsible for the tie. My wife found it. The J's were also her idea. She FaceTimed me the other day, and she was like, what do you think about these? And I saw them in the kid version. So I was like, no, get me some, too. I want those, too. But, again, honestly, man, like, it's been a whirlwind. You know, my two sons that are here, they're all in on football, and they spend a lot of time in the locker room. They spend a lot of time around the guys, and just being able to share those experiences with them. And, you know, my daughters came up as, you know, Falcons and Rams and 49ers, and, you know, hopefully we're here for a long time, and they could officially be, you know, Titans kids.
John was executive vice president or vice president with you and Mike, clearly defined roles. Who, and this is a question more for Amy, I guess, but who's in charge of the football operation?
Again, I'm a beat you guys to death with this word, collaboration. That's why I'm here, because Miss Amy sees me as a collaborator. So we're here to collaborate. We're here to build this thing together. I think so many times in our game, we're trying to fit people into boxes, you know, and that's just, in my mind, that's archaic. You know, we have to create a free-flowing environment, you know, and that's not only with Mike and I downstairs, but it's with the people upstairs, you know, too. So it's got to be a free-flowing collaborative effort, you know. And I mean, I understand, you know, you got a job to do to, you know, define these things, but we're truly going to collaborate. And so I don't think it matters who's over football operations, you know, the kitchen staff or whatever. Our job is to build the best building possible, and we're going to do that.
You come in, it obviously made an impression on you, that entrance. How about your family? What did that mean to them?
Man, it's been crazy, right? So we come in and, you know, the whole world of the Titans was here. And just the outpour, you know, of love that that we've gotten from just that video alone, from the highest of high, you know, it's been amazing. You know, and again, it's a testament to who this organization is. You know, my family and I, we already feel welcome. We already feel a part of it. And honestly, man, my wife asked me last night, like, how could I try to remain so cool under that environment? But looking up and seeing all those people feeling the applause, that motivated me. You know, that motivated me to want to work my behind off, you know, for the people of this building, the people of this organization.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll ask you the same thing.
Teresa? Oh,
sorry about that.
Mike, on filling the spots on your staff, offensive coordinator, have you talked to some guys yet? And how's that process coming?
I would say the process is going well. I'm excited with the numerous people that we've been able to meet and interview. That's been the, you know, the bulk of my time has been doing that since the season ended. And you know, excited where it's at, excited the ideas, and you know, nothing really new to report, but we've had, you know, there's some spots that we have to fill.
When you hear Rand talk about collaboration, mm-hmm. being so open for that communication and being in lockstep, I mean, that's got to be reassuring for you moving forward.
Yeah, there was never any doubt in my mind. I mean, our job is to get it right. Our job is to hire great people, the best people, what they do, find the best, the most diverse staffs. Let them do their job, manage them, lead them, push them. You know, that's what we have to do. You know, we have to do that in personnel, and I have to do that in coaching, and then we have to bring it all together, and then we have to do what's best for the team.
From your perspective, what is it about Rand that's going to make this collaboration work?
Well, I just believe in his history. I believe in where he's been, in his pedigree, and what he believes about making relationships. You know, it's coach's job is to teach, develop, and inspire through making a connection with the player, and that can't change whether it's where we bring them in or making connections with his staff or my staff. You know, it's different. You know, it's different than where it was 20 years ago when he played or when I played. I mean, it just is. Paul, I know it's January and you're still going to interrupt me, but I'm just trying to answer the question that we have to be able to get to know these guys and what they go through and the people in our building. And when you stop and you ask how somebody's doing, you have to be willing to stand there and listen to them instead of just walking by. And that starts with me and remembering that, not just walking by and say, hey, how you doing today? It's like, no, if you're going to be willing to answer the question, stop, stand there, and figure out how you can help somebody. Go ahead, Paul.
I apologize.
That's okay. You don't have to apologize.
Not from a power dynamic, from a division of work dynamic. In not having somebody that's leader of football operations, Rand mentioned the kitchen staff.
Yeah.
If something like that comes up, isn't it cleaner to have somebody that, like,
I am very confident, and again, I don't want to speak for Amy or Kenneth or Barkley or Burke, but we have people in place, and we've hired the right people to make sure that those organizations or departments are functioning to help the football team, the players. Like, that's what everybody's job here. His job, my job, Stretch's job, Chris's job, you know, Johnny's job, Joey. Every single person here is to do what's best for the football players so that they can help us win football games.
Mike, how open are you to changing the offensive scheme?
Well, I think we change things every year. And I want coaches and people, and we had this conversation this morning, of that are versatile, that have multiplicity, that can adjust, that aren't just married to one specific way of looking at a player, of coaching a scheme, coaching a technique. You know, there's a bunch of different ways to rush the passer. It's a bunch of different ways to block or to run a route, outside zone, inside zone. The whole idea is to have people that, you know, can function and excel in doing different things. And I want to do that offensively. I absolutely do. I want to do whatever's best for our football players, and they can excel. The young players that we saw this year, you know, finding ways to help them make a jump, and then, you know, the veteran players that we'll have back.
What are the things that you're looking for, the qualities you're looking for in your next offensive coordinator?
Well, I mean, again, if you hear me talk, it's about guys that can lead and make a connection with their coaching staff, with the players, that have some level of multiplicity, that can, you know, figure out ways to run the football, whether you run and you use the quarterback, or whether it's an outside zone, whether it's gap scheme. Like, I got it. You know, I mean, I've sat in a lot of different meetings. I got all the different schemes. I want to make sure that, you know, we find a few that we like. Would hope that we can teach the players and that they can understand and they can have the confidence to go and do their job. You know, somebody that, you know, we got to score some points. You know, we've been efficient. One thing we have been in is around here is efficient in the red zone. You know, that hasn't changed no matter who was running the offense. But we just have to get down there more often. You've heard me say that. So if we can continue to be efficient and looking at how we have created those game plans and what we've done to prepare in that regard, if, you know, finding a way to translate that to our first and second down and, you know, still staying efficient in the red zone and scoring points and protecting the quarterback.
Why'd you keep Craig Aukerman on the staff with the special teams issues this season?
Well, I think what special teams, what are you talking about? Let's look at these objectively and let's talk about it.
All the punts that were returned throughout the course of the year, leading the league in those punts.
The punts that were returned for against us or ones we returned?
Well, both, honestly.
Well, we were third in the league in the net punting. We were third. Third in the National Football League in net punting. Third, 44 yards. So, again, I'm hoping to have this conversation, but our punter just set a record. And, again, there were some long, flat punts that got returned. But when you look at it, third in the National Football League in net punting with the number of players that were on our punt team and the number of gunners we went through is pretty good.
Okay, punt return issues.
Yep. We got to find guys. Rand, go find some returners that don't drop the ball. Because I'm with you. We went through a lot of returners. We you have a vision of guys, okay? You asked me a question. I'm going to try to answer it. We're going to catch punts until our hands bleed or they get calloused, okay? But we had a vision, okay, that we draft Kyle. We saw what he did early in the season. First game, huge punt return. Man, we got and then he muffs one. Okay, and then he gets injured, and he's practicing, and then we go to Buffalo, right, and whatever it was Robert and Amani. Like, I can relive this. I would rather not. We got to find somebody that we can trust back there. But I can't put that on Craig Aukerman when I see the amount of time that we spend catching punts. Like, we go through more jugs machines than anybody. Okay, I get it. We got to make sure we take care of the ball. But I can't say that that's Craig Aukerman when I'm evaluating everything that we're doing.
Like, when you look at Kalamari Myers, fast, physical, diverse, these are all things you talk about. How important is that when you bring in Rand?
Well, I think it's, you know, I mean, I want to hear about, you know, these guys. And we both love, the majority of people can kind of figure out the top players are the top players, like top 100, but where all my excitement comes in is the seventh round, a late draft. Like, we've had some really good, you know, we all have. And where his experience or where I've been is trying to, you know, we see it the exact same way. Let the scout and the position coach come together and act like Mike and Ran throughout the draft. They can go. They can fit their board. Here's our undrafted guys. If they pass through the draft, hey, Ran, here's how you can help us. Braves, here's how you can help us, and we will support that. That was part of our conversation, and that's where we can hopefully continue to find and strengthen the back end of our roster or special teams, or you end up finding a guy that starts for you or plays. But, you know, that's, you know, that's where I think you can really come together and you can say, hey, this is what we saw in George Kittle. You know, a lot of other people passed on him. This is what we saw. Or I can say, hey, this is what we saw in, you know, Tier Tart, who's been a valuable member of our defense that went undrafted. So that's where I think hopefully we can continue to excel.
Contribute have a hand in the offensive line coach, if I'm not mistaken, when you
you'd have to have an offensive line coach that supports the offensive coordinator and supports the team. I feel a lot better where I'm at personally. Paul, I think that was my first time, you know, my first time hiring a staff, the first time having an offensive coordinator. And the most important thing is that person supports the coordinator. And I understand that now. So I don't think it's absolutely necessary. I know what kind of I'm looking for and kind of what the vision is there.
Can you talk about the contributions that Jim Schwartz made during his return engagement here before he got the Browns job?
Yeah. You know, it was a great fit. It worked out well for us. Worked out well for Jim. He wasn't able to, you know, put the time and a commitment that was necessary, and he knew that for him to be a coordinator. Thought he supported Shane and the defense and helped us out. Would handle some of the red zone stuff, and you know, I think it really worked well for both the Titans and Jim. Happy for him. I totally shared all those thoughts with Kevin when he called. And, you know, I'm glad he's feeling better. And, two, I'm glad he's getting an opportunity to coordinate again. Thanks, guys. Welcome, Rand.
All right, we heard from Rand Carthon, new Titans general manager. We heard from Mike Vrabel how he'll work with Rand Carthon, also the coaching staff moving forward. I know we've got a lot of thoughts. You've got a lot of thoughts. We'll get into all of those coming up next. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. We just heard from Titans' new general manager, Rand Carthon. Also heard from Mike Vrabel at the end there as well. Initial thoughts on Rand Carthon's, our first impression of Rand Carthon.
I think everything that has been said about him, you know, came out in his press conference. You know, the one thing that whether we had talked with Jeff Fisher or listened to John McClain or anyone else that we may have gotten clips from or interviewed ourselves, it was communication, communication, communication. He's a good communicator. And when you listen to the press conference, you know, all of that stuff is evident. You know, he knows how to work well with individuals or groups, and he stressed that this is going to be, and I know that's the new, you know, word throughout the facility now, collaboration. You can ask about a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. They probably tell you, well, you know, it only works if the peanut butter and jelly collaborate together with the bread. That's the only way it works.
Someone did text in and say drink every time you hear the word collaboration.
Exactly.
Passed out by now.
So, yeah.
But that's the message.
But it all came out in his press conference. You know, it seems as if from what he has expressed in him talking with Vrabel already, it seems like they're both headed down the same path. They're both working and walking together to try to make this organization not just a winning organization, but a championship organization. And what's interesting is, you know, is everything ties back to New England. Everything ties back to New England. So that's not a bad thing, because New England won 7 championships in the process, or six, I think it was 6, yeah. So, you know.
I think he's still a pretty good quarterback.
I just can't wait to see how all of this. Everything is fun and great, and everybody's smiling now. But, you know, they got to put in the grunt work, and I want to see, you know, once the grunt work is put in, what product is going to show up on the field.
I thought it was very personable. I thought that for a guy, and we mentioned this before the press conference, he's 41 years old. He's a first-time GM. In his job, in his multiple jobs leading up to today, he probably has never hosted a press conference. In other words, where he's in front of there taking all these questions. I thought, given those circumstances, I thought he came across very, very good. I don't think he said anything he didn't want to say. I thought he was very well prepared, and he was very personable. He told some stories about himself, but he also talked about his family. He talked about some of his experiences. I thought he was an interesting guy, and I liked what he had to say about tape versus people, his thoughts on analytics. Like, clearly, he's thought about these things, and he was willing to share those things. To me, that's what jumped out. I knew we weren't going to get answers on quarterback. I thought that was a smart way of answering that part of it. But I do think we got a glimpse of his foundation, right, where he's come from, what this means to him. His answer was ready on the historic part of this, right? And I thought it was a good balance. He understands the historic part of this, right? He knows the significance of him being hired today, and he thanked the people in the accelerator program for helping bring him to the forefront as a candidate. But he also doesn't want any breaks because of it, right? He says, look, I just want, regardless of color, I want to be the best. I want to be a great GM. I thought that was a very well thought out answer to a complex question, a question that's on a lot of people's minds.
And I think, yeah, to your point, Willie, you saw the personality come through in addition to what I know the Titans want to continue the message to be. It was collaboration, collaboration, collaboration. Every time he was asked who has final say or the relationship between he and Mike Vrabel, it all came down to collaboration. That makes me wonder how much this organization was maybe lacking that in the past. It was something that Mike Vrabel touched on, of we want the coaches and the scouts to be aligned. We want them to be aligned just as much as Ran and I are aligned to make sure that that organization is a well-oiled machine. Like Ran Carthon mentioning, the analytics guy said, hey, this guy looks really good. What do your football eyes say about it?
Yes.
That everything is going to be hand-in-hand, ideally. And to your point, D-Mace, right now, today on January 20th, on his first day on the job, all of that is really easy to say now. We're going to work together. We're going to collaborate. We're going to make sure that we're hand in hand. Mike Vrabel and Ran Carthon both mentioned, hey, our philosophy as football guys, it all comes from the same place. They all stem from the same root of the New England Patriots organization. And he even mentioned a quote that is almost verbatim what Bill Belichick always says, is we don't want to collect talent. We want to build a team of individuals. We don't want to just, build off of, one really good player here, one really talented player here. We need to be a cohesive unit. So that's kind of a trickle-down process of it starts with us. It starts with the collaboration between the GM and the coach. And then it trickles down to the coaching staff. It trickles down to the scouting staff, the analytics staff, and all the way to the bottom. But there was one big thing that really stood out to me based off of what I think is Ran Carthon's, or should be Ran Carthon's, 1A bullet on his list of things to do. We'll get into that coming up next. Plus, I see your phones. I see your thoughts. Want to get your opinions on the Ran Carthon press conference as well. 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025, 1063, The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.